This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome, one and all, to No Bad Ideas, the show where we give ourselves just 10 short minutes to turn someone's bad idea into at least the pitch, or the beginning of the pitch, or the notion of the beginning of a pitch for a good book, a good movie, a good, I don't know, comic book strip, whatever you take it. Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing today?
Quite well.
Excellent, excellent. Shall we waste no time? Shall we get into our first bad idea for today?
Absolutely. Happy to bring it. Relatively fresh off the press. From the Sydney Morning Herald. Quote, "It's absurd. Italian seaside residents hit with bygone feudal tax."
Okay.
In Sydney, Australia?
Let me take you to San Felice, Cicero, Italy.
That makes more sense.
The inhabitants of a hilltop town in Italy are in revolt after the descendants of a Swiss aristocrat revived their claim for a payment of an obscure feudal tax.
Swiss aristocrats, what are we doing here?
So come much. On.
Guys.
You already have all the money. It's in your banks. Yeah.
Locals in San Felice Cicero, a picturesque town between Rome and Naples, overlooking sandy beaches and dramatic cliffs, have been told they owe thousands of euros as a result of a medieval levy long forgotten. The demand is being made by six descendants of Giovanni Paolo, James Auguette, a Swiss baron who bought the rights to the levy, known as a fief, in 1898.
Yeah, robber baron, more like, am I right?
Dating back centuries, the fief passed from the Papal States, which ruled much of Italy, to the Kingdom of Italy after the country was unified in the 1860s, and then to the baron. His heirs intend to levy an annual charge on properties in the seaside town, claiming arrears for the past 5 years that in some cases amount to 35,000 euros or 55,000 US dollars.
As they say amongst my people, oh, hell no.
That's right. Around 1,500 furious residents are clubbing together to fight the charges.
Yeah, no shit.
No shit.
Yeah, like what standing do these Swiss, to put it politely, motherfuckers have?
Right. This is definitely them like sitting around the dinner table during the pandemic being like, man, these billionaires are really making out better than us. How can we extort the world for money we feel we're owed? Quote, "It's absurd that we are even discussing feudal rights that should have died out centuries ago." Mario Montalbano, a surveyor who has received a payment demand, said, "We are getting organized. The battle is just beginning."
Lord. I don't know why I find it funny, but payment demands just seems like a particularly funny thing to receive. Like, you know, not like a bill or something, but a payment demand.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is now like kind of an Airbud situation, though, because France made a huge deal of abolishing feudal dues. And I'm just realizing that Italy may not have done that. And so there's no rule that says you can't collect feudal tithes is what we're dealing with, basically.
That's exactly it. The levy has not been imposed for at least 60 years. Quote, "They have just recently woken up to it," he said. Quote, "They must be strapped for cash."
Interesting.
Bianca Maria Menicile, a lawyer for the heirs, denies the fief is anachronistic. Quote, it's not anachronistic to insist a legal right is exercised, even if it does date back several centuries, she said, being paid to say it. Quote, these rights were maintained when they were passed from the Papal States to the Kingdom of Italy. All this is legitimate. It's not something they have invented. None of that has gone down well in the town that derives its name from Circe, a vengeful sorceress who, according to legend, turned Odysseus's men into pigs as That's he returned right. from the Trojan War. The feudal arrangement is so unusual, it has prompted questions in Parliament. Last year, MPs asked the economy minister if there were legal avenues to abolish the, quote, burden. Quote, I think even Circe would have been furious over what the family is asking for, Montalbano said. Let's hope she can cast a few spells on them. And with that, folks, I'm putting 10 minutes on the clock.
I mean, I think this is like, I'm just stuck up on the actual problem of like the Kingdom of Italy was dissolved in 1946. Like that shit ended with World War II. So why is this still at issue? Anyway, well, let's think of a story.
It was privatized.
60 years ago, that's what? 1959, 61 at this point?
Basically, yeah.
So this was enforced 60s. Sometime after the Kingdom of Italy was dissolved. So
there's your problem right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. But yes, story.
Yeah, I mean, we could do this, but have, you know, one of our usual, it's a heist and a con man needs to impersonate a Swiss noble and then learns that there are all of these feudal dues and responsibilities tied up in the nobility they thought they made up because all nobility is made up. But I don't know. What are you thinking?
I don't know, because it's tough because like that option is there. But like, you know, they're scamming like poor Italian farmers. Like that doesn't feel great.
No, it doesn't.
And like, you know, the... You know, the idea is bad, but the people that are like taking the action and doing the thing in the base idea, I don't think that those are the people that he wants as your protagonist. Like, I don't think that you want to be following the, like, you know, descendants of Swiss aristocracy as they try to fend off bankruptcy by bankrupting other people.
So I think we should take the bankruptcy element out of it, and we can maybe do more of a Princess Diaries sort of a deal.
Say more.
There's this huge technicality where the Swiss family retains like lands and rights and noble title in Italy. And it's the super sweet deal, but they need a new heir. And for whatever reason, the heir like abdicates. So they have to go off and find
like the next person branch. In line.
Exactly. Like, yeah, exactly. And it's maybe like, someone from this Italian town who wants nothing to do with it, or
because they still have to pay these taxes from way back when, right. Even though nobody knows why they have to pay these taxes.
Right. Or it's like someone who espouses like very ardent Republican sentiments, but is tempted by the cushy titles
and trappings
of a Swiss hunting lodge or what have you. Sure. And it ends up being this moral dilemma of is this title going to lapse or is this person going to be able to find a way to navigate these ancient structures in a more modern era?
Is there anything to this person maybe being told by their family kind of like, you know, you need to get in there just long enough to, like, you know, get these fucking taxes off our back. After that, do whatever you want. Like, after that, get a divorce, kill them. We don't care. But just kind of like, you know, this is an opportunity for us to finally have a, like, competitive edge. You need to get in there and do your part. And, like, I think that there's now kind of this element of, like, no matter how bad things are getting with this crazy Swiss family, at first, our heroine has kind of a very strong motive to stick it out.
Right. And they end up, you know, forming an attachment to like someone within the family and getting at least tempted by the family's like rationale.
Absolutely. I think that makes sense.
And that person can be sort of like, I forget her name, but the character in Knives Out who's like liberal college student and sympathetic and friendly, but actually when the chips are down, maybe we'll look after their own interests, depending on how we want to spin this.
Takes care of number one.
Yeah. Or it could be like a romance plot, like, you know, red, white and royal blue, where they find common ground and an attraction or something like that. I don't know which way we want to go with it. But yes, I think you're right that there is like a key motivation to sabotage this family's arrangement. So they like stick it out through all the protocol lessons and, you know, learning how to ask for the salt without asking for the salt. But eventually they get in too deep.
Yeah.
This is your halfway warning.
Thank you. I'm more inclined to go the romance-less option, because I think that I've seen the romance version more times and I kind of know how it goes, sort of, you know, like the fervently anti-royalist person, but then like, oh my God,
no, Anne Hathaway did a good job.
So charming. Yeah. So I'm inclined to have it be just like, you know, you don't need to get married. You just need to kind of like undergo like, you know, your initiation ceremony in 2 months. And then
you just
are
need to get
going
knighted,
to be,
and then you'll be good to go.
Then you are the Grand Duchess of
wherever. Alsace-Lorraine, which is nowhere near Italy, but it's fine.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Colonialism was weird.
Europe is weird.
Yeah, more Europe than colonialism in that case, now that I think about it.
Colonialism also very weird and a bad idea, but
very much so.
But yes, you just need to like be vested in this title and then you can tear it apart.
Right. And I guess sort of like what are the things that make it more challenging? Because, you know, like it needs to be one of these cases where at first it's like, ooh, this looks tough, but doable. But then she gets in there and it's like, oh, no, this is like really sticking to my craw now.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, because there's like the sort of etiquette stuff, which is doable but comical and sort of dense.
Yeah.
Then there is like learning about the business interests and like how many secret accounts in the Seychelles they actually have. Or alternatively, like sort of what projects their money supports. And like, ooh, maybe pulling all of these blocks out of the Jenga Tower would hurt people. Unintentionally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There may also be something that is like, so like maybe they live in like Italian village A, but their mm-hmm. like best friend lives in Italian village B.
Sure.
And they find out that like, you know, this like royal Swiss aristocratic family is about to Emperor's New Groove style, like demolish village B to create their new summer villa or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so they, all of a sudden there's a choice. It's, do I stop that knowing that that may throw a wrench in my own initiation process? Or do I see the initiation process through, even though that would mean helping my family over my best friend? My best friend may lose their home.
Right. It could be a case of, I could potentially do something to stop that. But it would expose my sort of double agentness.
Right.
And so it's, do I choose my own family's village over my friend's family or my friend's village?
This is rapidly not becoming a comedy. Like, you know,
no.
like
no, this is Succession is what we're doing. Yeah.
Right. I think the comedy version would have been like secessionist like movement of the town, just like maybe arming to the teeth and just being like, we're not going to pay those taxes. Also, we're no longer part of Italy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. The Boston Tea Party in Circe.
Yeah, right. But now are the taxes because of a deal with the Italian government or because these people like fucking own this land?
Based on my understanding of how feudal rights work,
in which, by the way, your listeners were experts, so this is
so expert. Is that we are not. The Kingdom of Italy, when it was a kingdom, could vest lands in nobility who would hold the land and have jurisdiction and sort of capital rights, so right to tax, right to impose justice, that kind of thing, like with an agreement of loyalty to the crown. So like their land is how like feudalism works. 1880s feudalism, it may be like, hey, you buy this property and you have the rights to the tax revenue of it, but that's it.
In the next 10 seconds, what's it called?
Switch Succession, bank account, no. Or something. Like, you know, like a pun, something about Swiss. Swiss cheese, Swiss cheddar, I don't know. Like,
full of holes. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's time.
All right, well, we wish this accidental heiress the best in her moral dilemma.
I know, quandary. Very stressful moral dilemma that's going on.
Yeah, no, it started at Princess Diaries. It really became Succession pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go check in on our friends in Italy and make sure the tax man hasn't ruined their lives. Then we'll be back after these messages.
Hey y'all, it's Sarah breaking into the show for just a second with a very special announcement. We finally did it. We finally bought some pins. There are pins based on the incredible Unseen logo designed by Michaela Buckley up on our shop. I think there's about 30 of them left at this point. So go get one now before they vanish forever. We love them. We'll probably do more of them. And we hope you love them too. So go check it out. How would you check it out? Well, by going to unseen.show. Again, that's unseen.show, finding the pop-up shop. That is where you go to get all your pin goodness. Where you go to get your bad ideas is just here. Keep listening. We'll get back to them right now.
All right, everybody, welcome back to No Bad Ideas. We are here for our second story, which actually takes us back to Europe for more silliness and ill-advised decision-making.
Amazing.
We're having a very, very hot day here in New York right now. So how do you guys feel about going down to the waterfront for some nautical bad
refreshment?
Ideas? Yes.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah.
Take us there.
Let's get on a boat.
Alrighty. From our good friends at metro.co.uk.
Lovely.
And your listeners, there will be a link to this article in the episode description. The headline reads, Noah's Ark impounded in Ipswich for not having paperwork to say it's seaworthy.
Wow.
Only bad things happen in Ipswich.
Seriously.
Sorry, Ipswich. Yeah.
An international incident of biblical proportions has kicked off on Ipswich's waterfront. A replica of Noah's Ark, which already I have questions, but let's keep going.
Okay.
A replica of Noah's Ark is currently stuck there because it doesn't have the correct paperwork to say that it is seaworthy. The vessel arrived at Orwell Quay in November 2019 and has been detained there for 18 months by the Coast Guard. The owners of the Dutch-flagged Ark are locked in a, quote, impossible stalemate with the agency, and now Transport Secretary Grant Shapps is being asked to get involved. The, oh my God, 2.6 million euro biblical museum is owned by Dutch TV producer Ad Peters, who could apply for an exemption to be allowed to be returned to Holland. But the Coast Guard has serious concerns and insists it is not safe. They said, quote, Noah's Ark will remain detained until all the deficiencies have been put right and an MCA surveyor is invited back by the owners to check they've been corrected. The craft was due to leave on April 1st, but because of the stalemate, it has been racking up 500 euro a day fines ever since.
Wow.
the Coast Guard found a range of issues, including overdue services for life-saving equipment, such as life jackets, fire kit, and lifeboats. They say they could not rely on the grace of God to let the boat leave.
Clever article writer.
The owner said it had always been classified as, quote, a non-certified floating object, which is a fantastic turn of phrase. And has only left its home country on an infrequent and exceptional basis, according to the Ipswich Star. The owner said in a statement, the requirement to obtain full registration and the required certificates was and may not be achievable within the required time scales and would incur unreasonable costs and time delays to the vessel. Towage plans have now been made for the Ark to return to the Netherlands, and the vessel is still awaiting towage approval to depart from the UK. Owners have been continuously seeking a means of release and permittance to be towed on a single voyage from the UK to the Netherlands with an agreed towage plan. And is the end of this tale of misadventures, at least so far. Like, as far as we know, this is still ongoing.
I'm just marveling at, like, step one, build a replica Noah's of Noah's Ark museum as a biblical museum.
Yep.
Step two, have it be a boat, not on land, but an actual boat that you can put in the water. Step three, do not make sure that Noah's Ark is seaworthy.
I know. Don't make sure that it, like, actually works as a boat. Don't make sure that it, like, passes muster as a boat. It's this perfect cascade of terribleness.
It's a pseudo boat.
Yeah.
I don't, how? Anyway.
These are all good questions. As you think about them, I'm going to set 10 minutes on the timer.
Yeah, set a timer.
Now the clock is running.
So the first thing that I want to bring our attention to is the fact that this is not the only replica of Noah's Ark not by a long in the shot. World.
But like, do we know how much a cubit is? Like, do we?
I was going to say, like,
I
that's
think
the
we
other
figured
thing.
Out what a cubit means. Like, because there's, you know, replicas of Solomon's Temple, too, and stuff like that. The Ark of the Covenant.
Still, though, this feels like it's perhaps not a thing that we should be able to, like, reconstruct.
Like, that's the other thing.
I
is,
agree.
Like, if all the different replicas don't look the same, what are we replicating here?
Right. Also, I presume that none of these have animals in them, which really feels like we're just missing the point of Noah's Ark.
No, I mean, I guess you're supposed to have it ready. And the moment that God says go, then you get
then
the
you
animals
fill it up with on. The animals.
Right. Sure, so it's just a contingency plan.
This is all, you know, constant vigilance. You got to be ready for that flood.
Got to be ready.
There is a surprising number of photos on Google Images of dinosaurs in wooden cages inside Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
Photographs or illustrations?
Those.
Photographs.
Really? Oh, because in the replicas?
Yes.
Oh my God, people. Holy shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Wow.
So two of every animal definitely included dinosaurs.
Yeah, apparently. okay, 2 minutes down, by the way.
Okay. So clearly there's a lot of science and evidence behind these things.
Yes.
Now, I guess I wonder if because there's more than one of these things, perhaps a meeting of the Noah's Arks that kicks off this debacle in our fictional situation.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple things that come to mind. One, there is the sort of Armando Iannucci-esque government farce of what happens if a Noah's Ark is seized and, like, for whatever reason, they can't tow it back to Holland and suddenly it becomes the property of Ipswich and Ipswich has to decide what to do with their new Noah's Ark and has to maintain it. And you could have sort of very put upon public officials and it can be sort of like a European Parks and Rec sort of deal of, like, what does a modern state do with this biblical artifact? The other thing you can do is actually have someone trying to steal a boat, and for whatever reason, they end up on this Noah's Ark replica out at sea and have adventures inside Noah's Ark. Those are my two pitches.
I like both of those two possibilities. Zach, do you want to finish the thought about the meeting of all the people that had Noah's Arks? Because I was intrigued by that.
Just the idea that all these people that have built Noah's Arks,
all the Noahs,
get it in their heads that they need to gather at sea for probably God reasons.
For reasons.
Yes.
For Flood Con 23.
For end of the world reasons. Yeah.
Exactly. And so all of a sudden, internationally, governments are taking issue with these massive, let's just say, non-seaworthy constructions suddenly being charted into international waters.
Right. Do they clog up the Suez Canal? What happens? Yeah. I'm into that. And they could actually eventually be useful if, like, there's some sort of earthquake catastrophe and suddenly this island is in danger. And you know what's nearby? The flotilla of Noah's Arks.
But like, you know, like, are they getting together to kind of like finally settle the matter of which is the real Ark? Are they getting together to like exchange construction tips? Kind of like, you know, like, is how friendly of a meeting is this? Or is this finally like, you know, this town ain't big enough for both of us and it ain't me who's going to leave. And by this town, I mean the ocean.
The ocean? Right. Yeah.
I think if we're going like balls to the wall comedy, it's definitely like a Noah's Ark off. And if we're going like, I think
elimination style. Yeah. Like we're getting like, you know, all these like competitions and the judges kind of, you know, are like eliminating with the lesser Noah's Arks
and or fight to the death. And it's just like pirate ships in Noah's Arks. But I think the idea more wants there to be like, they all get the vision that like, no, like we're about to get hit with the even bigger storm. And like they were called to make these arcs for a reason and we need more than one this time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think there's definitely like that version where the story ends with another flood and the people, all of the wacky people that we've come to care about on these different Noah's Arks are saved. I also like the idea of contest, like some Israeli billionaire or something is like, we're going to have the official Noah's Ark museum here in at on this port. Not Ipswich, but like somewhere.
Why not? No, I'm kidding. Of course not Ipswich.
Sorry, Ipswich.
If you have to ask.
But,
yeah.
And so all of these people who either have built or decide that like this is their ticket to fame and fortune, bring all of these Noah's Arks to be judged to see which one will be declared the official arc. And so then like it's petty backstabbing and like comparisons of which arc is more historically accurate. And maybe an arc gets set on fire and you could have all sorts of shenanigans.
I like it. I dig it. 2 minutes and 15 seconds. Who's the protagonist?
Okay.
Who are we following here?
I think his name is Noah.
Not Yessa.
No, but I think it's like we follow Noah.
It's Ham.
Noah, the put upon kid of the like the Ipswich or whichever like single locations arc builder. Like they've named their son Noah and they're just like all in on this stuff.
Do they have like three brothers and they're all named Noah because their father was
because just to like
single track minds.
Yeah, exactly. And so you like follow that family as they like enter the contest.
I dig it. I really, really
right,
dig
and
it.
And I imagine that some of the brothers are like all in on this. Some of the brothers are more ambivalent. And maybe having a crisis of faith. You know, one is probably cynical and in it for the money. You can have, this is a joke. For all you Passover fans out there, you can have a wise son, a foolish son, a simple son, and an evil son.
Nailing that Passover fan demographic, Sarah.
Yeah.
Are animals involved in this? Dare I ask?
No animals are harmed in the making of this picture, but probably there are animals involved.
Right. Right. That's probably one of the trials of like, or one of the events, like how many animals can you
hold?
Are you holding?
Yeah.
Right. And
it have to be super high tech to sort of get all of the biodiversity on Earth.
And
right.
To feed
right.
them all.
And in the way that only the media can amplify things, like as the run up to this event happens, you just get like so much reporting that then causes an arms race of arcification, mm-hmm. where they just end up just cramming in animals they really shouldn't be finding.
And there's like some fake ones. There's like a fake dragon and a fake unicorn.
Right. Jackalope.
Like a chupacabra.
This is a great train of thought, but I'm going to interrupt it for just a moment. In these last 14 seconds, what is the title of this picture?
The long arc of history.
No, I hate it.
Well, that is time. So long arc of history. It's sold.
Oh, wow.
Well done, guys.
Hopefully
well
it
done.
Bends towards justice and teaches people to not build unnecessary boats.
Or at least make them safe.
Yes.
Please
choose
make them safe.
Boat or museum. Choose one.
I think that you can have a floating museum. You just gotta, you know, keep your security measures like tip top. Like you really need to be on top of making sure that it's seaworthy. And these sounds like these people just are not doing that.
Yeah, otherwise Battlestar Galactica would never happen.
That's right. needless to say to any of our dear listeners that may be from the wonderful, wonderful town of Ipswich, absolutely nothing against your town. We think that it is a delightful place. However, I think that we can all agree that it is perhaps not the place where gigantic replicas of Noah's Ark should be hanging out for over a year.
Yeah.
Incurring repeated fines. That sucks.
Incurring so much fines. Oh my God.
Yeah. Taking up dock space too.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Whew. Well, we're going to go get ready for a flood of some sort. We don't know what it is, but we know it's coming. So we're going to go take care of that for a little bit. But we'll be back next week with more of No Bad Ideas.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabriel Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.